Julian Skye sat locked away in his bedroom, staring at his reflection in the mirror on the wall opposite. He looked like shit. Not surprising, really, because he felt like shit, and had for some time now. His body was slumped in the oversized chair, like a battered toy discarded by a child who played too rough. For once, Julian wasn't thinking about his former love, Bibi Chojiro. He had more immediate concerns. He'd just been fired from his own Holo show. Ever since the rebellion ended, and he discovered to his great surprise that he was still alive and on the winning side for once, he'd been making a good living starring as himself in a weekly Holo series, featuring his many exploits as a dashing, devil-may-care agent of the rebellion. Such shows were very popular right now, but his was the only one featuring the actual person concerned. His acting was frankly average, but the emphasis of the show had always been on stunts, explosions, and last-minute escapes, so he got by. He'd started out trying to keep the scripts as close to the truth as he could, but soon discovered his audience much preferred the legend to the truth. He just shrugged and let the producers rewrite his past as they would. He didn't care. A lot of his past wasn't suitable for a family audience anyway. And now they'd fired him, replaced him with a look-alike actor, because Julian didn't look like himself anymore. He'd been ill for some time. The side effects of his incarceration in Lionstone's interrogation cells continued to make themselves felt. They came and went, so he learned to live with them and got on with his life. But just recently, he'd been getting worse. A lot worse. He thought he'd hidden it by not giving in to it and working just as hard as always. But apparently, you can't fool the camera. The show's executives had called him into their luxurious office, sat him down, made sure he had a large drink in his hand, and then showed him footage of himself as he used to be and as he was now. Julian was shocked by the difference. He'd become painfully thin, his face gaunt and hollowed, with dark shadows under the eyes. He looked 20 years older. The executives said they were very sorry to have to let him go, but makeup could only do so much. They assured him they'd be happy to take him back again once he was better, but everyone in the room knew that was not going to happen. He wasn't getting any better. The truth was right there in his face. He was dying. Those white-gowned bastards in the interrogation cells had killed him after all. It just took a while for his death to catch up with him. So he'd gone home. Home was the old Skye family house. Not a tower, not even in the same neighborhood. The Skyes had never been more than a very minor family. And soon they wouldn't be a family at all. Both of Julian's parents were dead, killed in an air crash. These things happened. And since Julian was a late child, all his grandparents were already gone. Wars and politics and duels. His uncles and aunts, knowing a sinking ship when they were on one, had married into greater families and took those families' names as their own, thus ensuring higher position and prestige for their children. There were a few minor cousins at various removes, but for all practical purposes, Auric and Julian had been the last generation of Skye, and they'd never had children. Now Julian Skye was the last of his line, and when he died, the name would die with him. He couldn't really bring himself to care much. He'd never given a damn for being an aristocrat, not least because he was at the bottom of the pile and looked down on by every other clan. And he was an Esper, which should have been impossible in the carefully controlled bloodlines and intermarriages of the families. Espers weren't people, they were property. But somewhere along the line, a Skye had gone to bed with someone they shouldn't have, and the Esper gene had gone skinny dipping in the Skye gene pool, and emerged in Julian. If his parents had found out, they would have had him quietly killed. An unfortunate accident to avoid shame and scandal. But as soon as Julian's power started emerging, his older brother Auric was right there with him, calming his terror and helping him hide what he was from his family and from the world. No one ever knew, till Auric died and Julian gave his life to the rebellion. And now here he was back home again, living alone in a great empty house with most of the room shut up, and only a few old family retainers for company. They stayed out of loyalty, out of memory for the way things had been, rather than for the money. Which was just as well. Julian had made a great deal of money as a Holo star, but tended to spend it as fast as it came in. His time in the Rebellion had taught him to live for the day. On the kinds of missions he undertook, you couldn't count on there being a tomorrow. If the bank hadn't been so scared of him, they'd probably have been sending him threatening letters by now. He would have worried how he was going to support himself in the future, if he thought he had a future. He hurt pretty much all the time now. Sometimes his head hurt so bad he had to bite down on something to keep from crying out and disturbing the servants. There were painkillers, of course, but the only one strong enough to deal with the pain left him sleeping all day or stumbling dimly around like a zombie. He preferred to spend whatever time he had left in his right mind. He was pretty sure he was going to die this time. No more miracle cures for him. He'd come close to dying on Hekeldama, but Giles Deathstalker had used his powers to work a cure. Only like so many things with Giles, the appearance hadn't been reality. The cure hadn't lasted. And now Giles was dead, and the four remaining maze survivors were all off-world somewhere on unknown missions. Even if he could have tracked them down and brought himself to beg, he doubted very much that they could have got back to Golgotha in time to do him any good. And besides, he'd never been any good at begging. That was one of the things that had made him a rebel in the first place. Julian looked back over his early rebel days with a rueful smile. He'd been so young, so sure, so dedicated. A real daredevil, ready to take on any mission, any risk, as long as it was for the cause. He'd been fast and sharp and sudden death with a weapon in his hand, and no one could stand against him. In retrospect, he had to admit he'd done it mostly for the thrills and the action, for the kicks. But he did a lot of good along the way, and saved as many lives as he took. The new government had wanted to give him all kinds of medals, but he politely turned them down. He never really felt he'd earned them, because it had all been such a good time. Until the Empire caught him, and put him in the interrogation cells, and gave him to the torturers. All because his one true love, Bibi Chojiro, betrayed him. She broke his heart, and they broke his spirit. And even though Finley Campbell rescued him, he was never the same afterwards. He sighed and did his best to push old, bitter thoughts aside. If he was going to die, he was determined to make the most of what was left of his life. Have some fun while he still could. Do all the things he'd meant to do, but never had, because the rebellion intervened. He'd enjoyed his time as a rebel, had his fair share of adventures and more, but it had quickly taken over his life, leaving no room for the simple, everyday pleasures that everyone else took for granted. There was never time to relax, let his guard down, have a good time with a few friends. He didn't drink or smoke or use drugs. He saw them as weaknesses. And he'd never had the time or the inclination to get involved in any of the more serious vices. The rebellion had been his life. And then they took it away from him, by winning. Most of his friends were dead. It had been a hard war, and the rebellion chewed up young men and women as fast as it could take them. Julian had seen a lot of faces come and go, and learned the hard way not to get too attached to anyone. The only real friend he had was Finley Campbell, and these days the old assassin was in almost as bad shape as he was. Finley had been coming apart at the seams for some time now, and the more Julian tried to help, the more Finley pushed him away. The only other man Julian had really admired had been the legendary young Jack Random. Julian had followed the great hero into countless battles, and worked his way through the bloody street fighting on Golgotha, chanting the man's name. Julian never really got over finding out that he'd been following a Fury, a Shub war machine in the shape of a man. He'd destroyed the Fury with his esp, but it hadn't helped. It seemed like every time Julian ended up trusting someone, they always betrayed him in the end. There had been some satisfying moments in the fighting. He'd killed the man who killed his brother Oryx, the masked gladiator himself, and that at least had been something he could be proud of. He could have killed the bastard a dozen times and never tired of it. And yet, he hadn't been there at the end. Hadn't made it down to the hell Lionstone had made of her court. Hadn't got there in time to see the Iron Bitch dragged from her throne and humbled before everyone. He'd seen the recording on Hollow later, but it wasn't the same. He should have been there. He felt he'd earned that. He still felt cheated, even now. He'd wanted her to see his face, to know he'd helped bring her down. He'd wanted to put his foot on her neck and laugh. He felt he'd paid for that right in blood and suffering and the loss of friends. So much bitterness in one short life. Julian frowned, searching for happier memories he could dwell on, but they seemed appallingly few and far between. The more he thought about it, the more it seemed to him that there had only been two times in his life when he'd really been happy. The years he shared with his beloved older brother Oryk, and the months he spent with the woman they both loved, Bibi Chojiro. Oryk went away and left him. He challenged the masked gladiator to a duel in the arena, hoping to impress Clan Chojiro enough that he'd be allowed to marry the lovely Bibi. He hadn't expected to win the duel, but he thought that if he put up a good enough show, the arena crowds would turn up their thumbs for him. They always like a plucky underdog. But the masked gladiator killed him anyway, just because he could. Julian had gone to comfort Bibi, and she cried in his arms, and he cried too. Not long after, they fell in love, and he was happy for a time. In all his life, the only piece of unfinished business he had left was Bibi Chojiro. He still wasn't sure how he felt about her. Part of him wanted to kill her so badly he could taste it, to make her suffer as he'd suffered. In the openness of young love, he told her all about his role in the rebellion, and she handed him over to the torturers without a second thought, because she was Blue Block, programmed from childhood to be loyal to the families, to death and beyond. Or so she said. But these days, Blue Block was running the families, with Bibi Chojiro as its most public face. Sometimes he dreamed he went to see her, and knelt at her feet, and promised to do anything she wanted, if only she'd love him again. He woke shaking from these dreams, with a scream caught in his throat. Some stupid, hurting part of him still loved her, and always would. He had thought about going to see her, to settle their unfinished business one way or another. There was always the chance he'd built her up in his mind and memory into something more than she was. Maybe if he saw her again, saw how small and harmless she really was, he'd be able to get it in perspective, move on. It wouldn't be easy getting an audience with such a popular and busy person, but he was pretty sure he could do it. She was important these days, no doubt with layers of protection, but he was a person of no small importance himself. His Hollow show had put him in the public eye as one of the better-known rebel heroes. His audience loved him, or at least the version of him they saw on his show every week. He even had his own fan club. But no one knew how ill he really was. He was still getting invitations to all kinds of parties and social and political gatherings. A lot of clans had found it in themselves to overlook how minor a house his family was, in their keenness to have him marry one of their unattached daughters. A rebel hero like Julian Skye would make an excellent spokesman for any clan determined to be taken seriously in the new politics. Many had gone on a charm offensive, and all but pushed pretty faces at him every time he appeared in public. Julian had gone along with it. He did so love to dance. And it pleased his ego to be seen on all the news and gossip shows with a pretty girl always hanging on his arm. A small, childish part of him hoped Bibi might be watching. Clan Chojiro had never pursued him. Bibi had never believed in begging. She was probably still waiting for him to come to her. Julian sat up straight in his chair and put in a call to Clan Chojiro. The view screen on the wall quickly cleared to show a severe, cold face that Julian recognized as the current head of Chojiro Security. Presumably his name had been flagged. Julian gave the man his best intimidating smile, formally introduced himself, and asked to speak to Bibi. The security chief smiled back and said he'd see what he could do. His face disappeared from the screen and was replaced by a soothing image of a brook running through a forest, accompanied by gentle tinkling music. Julian scowled. He hated being put on hold. The last time someone left him waiting too long, he'd taken all his clothes off and flashed them on their return. The church wouldn't make that mistake again. The screen cleared to reveal a familiar face. Julian raised an eyebrow.
Cardinal Brendan, I didn't think you were admitting you had any connection with Blue Block these days.
Officially, I'm not. But you're a special case. Good to see you again, Julian. You're looking very well.
Maybe I should give you the address of my optician. Don't flatter me, Cardinal. I know what I look like. Now, why am I talking to you and not Bibi?
She's here, but I'm afraid she doesn't want to talk to you just now, Julian. You must understand, you and Bibi parted under very unhappy circumstances, and she quite rightly has some fears that you might still wish her harm.
Now, why should she think that? Just because she betrayed me into the gentle hands of the Imperial Tormentors?
It was a different time then. I'm sure we all did things then that we've come to regret now. The new order is a new beginning for all of us, a chance to put the past behind us and remake ourselves as we would wish to be.
Save the pretty speeches. You were a slimy creep then, and you're a slimy creep now. And when you die, they won't have to bury you. They'll just pour you down the nearest drain so you can join all the other turds. BB gave you a message for me. Stop pretending to be someone important and pass it on.
As you wish. BB has asked me to say that she still has warm feelings for you, but that if you ever wish to see her again, you will have to prove your feelings are genuine.
And just how do you suppose I do that? Bunch of flowers, nice box of chocolates? Try me, Cardinal. I'm in a generous mood.
You must prove your good intentions by presenting to her the bound and helpless figure of the Chojiro's greatest enemy.
I always thought that was me, but women could be so fickle. Which poor bastard does she have in mind?
Finley Campbell.
You want the Campbell?
Your friend, yes. Your staunchest ally in the rebellion. How better to show your devotion to BB?
If I ever find out this was your idea...
I'm just the messenger, Julian. But even a failed ham actor like yourself must know that nothing of true value ever comes without a price tag. How much is BB's love worth to you? And it's not as if the Campbell's been much of a friend to you lately. The man's a head case, everyone knows that. How long before he turns on you, as he already has with so many old allies? He's not a happy man. Help put him out of his misery, and ours, and prove your worth at the same time.
Betrayal. Is that all you Chojiros understand?
Such a harsh word. Say rather that Clan Chojiro admires a man strong enough to live by his own rules and know who his true friends are. So, may I inform BB that she can expect a happy surprise package soon?
I'll think about it.